Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Boom! Ready? Down! Put!
Welcome back to Chairshot NFL. You can follow us at Chairshot NFL. My name is PC Tony. I'm joined, as always, by the IWC War Chief. You can follow him at IWC War Chief. That's the Rowdy Piper shirt wearing, beer swilling, good looking son of a gun, Andrew Balazs.
You charming motherfucker, you. How the hell you doing?
I'm good. Despite, yeah, like the obvious like thing for us to come on here and talk about is Jordan Love's hurt, right?
Hey, it worked out okay though, because it's not as bad as it could have been.
Sure. Yeah, that's nice. Tell me
you weren't on like a roller coaster of emotion where you're like, fuck, we're losing. Fuck, Jordan Love's dead. Oh, it's only 3 weeks.
No. Honestly, you know, before that play, he got hurt, and that's very end of the game. Somewhere in the middle of the fourth quarter, I'm like, I just don't feel like we're going to win this game, and that's okay. The defense looks more aggressive. Philadelphia is a really good football team again. Like, I think so. We'll get to that. But Jordan Love played like crap. Jordan Love missed receivers. I know guys were slipping all over the field, but that's an excuse that shouldn't be used by either team because they both played on the same field. I'm not talking about the passes where receivers slipped. I'm talking about a good half dozen other easy to medium, just misses. Short, long, in front of guys, at their feet. I remember Romeo Dubs catching at least three passes with his arms fully extended out in front of him, reaching or behind him or down. Here's the problem. Malik Willis, he doesn't know the playbook. Malik Willis has showed nothing in his short career in Tennessee in his three games he's played. He hasn't even passed for 100 yards in a game. This is just survival. They'd be lucky to win one game before Jordan Love comes back. Don't ask me which game it is. But I'm just saying, I just don't think, man, why this team didn't go out and get Ryan Tannehill and bring him in for training camp. I'd almost go with the other guy from Penn State because he knows the playbook. But yeah, that's my brief Packer fan explanation. for you.
I mean, I'm not too against what you said either, because I think the backers are hopeful that it's 3 weeks and not four, because 0-4 is much easier to come back from than 0-5.
I mean, but honestly,
you've got two AFC South teams coming up, so you could maybe sneak a win. Like, the Packers are still built like a decent team, just you don't know what the hell Willis is. That's the problem.
The problem is any team that doesn't have a quarterback that can throw the football is not very good.
Agreed. But yeah, we just don't know that much about Willis. He didn't get to play too much in, you know, Tennessee. It's not like we saw a lot of it here.
Here's the problem.
Green Bay, because
I'd be more
got rid of all their backups and brought him in. So
I'd be more optimistic if we didn't trade for him less than 2 weeks ago. Like, he hasn't been in fucking house for all preseason. That'd be different if he was in for the last preseason game and 2 weeks before the season started. He has had
worked out for the Pastronaut for a couple weeks, though.
Well, we'll see. We'll get
maybe you'll get a little Pastronaut with Malik Willis.
I don't think so. I think we're in trouble. Time will tell.
You've got two easy games to try to just, like, throw in a little bit of the book and then just see how he works.
The Colts, I don't think, is an easy game. The Colts is
relatively easy because they're AFC South teams. So.
Well, yeah, played a good game against Houston.
Sure, but that's a divisional game.
I'm guessing
the Jets and the Giants and all them, you know, play their division well.
All right.
Even
before
the Jets got good.
I appreciate you trying to talk me off the ledge here, but you know, I'll wave to you when we're 0-4 from falling down into the abyss.
There's 17 games. There's not 16. That makes it one game easier to come back from 0-4. If the Bengals could do it so many times, you probably can.
Oh, we're gonna get to the Bengals too.
The Vikings almost did it last year if Kirk Cousins didn't explode.
I suppose. Well, here's some happy news, folks. We got a new segment for you. We couldn't do it last week because we couldn't pick our weapon of the week last week, but that's what we're going to do right now.
Choose your weapon.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Andrew Belez, weapon of the week, sir. Take it away.
I mean, I'll just start off with Josh Alexander's heel turn was good for that, you know, new theme song right there, because that's fun. That's a good song. So I like that snippet. So, all right. So weapon of the week. Wow. Very easy. You know, we just pick anybody. It could be offensive, defensive, special teams, whatever. So it's not offensive player of the week, defense. No cookie cutter shit. Just like the best weapon the team had for the week. So I'll start it off with I'll start off by naming a couple, but I'll start off with my honorable mention, which the honorable mention is going to be TJ Watt. Now, on the actual official stat sheet, TJ Watt wasn't super impressive. He only had 4 tackles and 1 sack, but he got called for offsides on a strip sack, which is bullshit because he timed that thing fucking perfect. Okay, the second strip sack that he had, that was legit, like, you know, holding or hands to face. I forget exactly what they called for pass interference, but still, TJ Watt was a game wrecker. He was blowing up the side of the Falcons line constantly, keeping them on their heels. And the Falcons looked lost anyway. And then with Watt in the backfield the whole time harassing Cousins didn't help. But he's only an honorable mention because officially he wasn't that great. But if you watched the game, you knew he made a fucking difference. Now, staying in the same game, the person that made the most difference, the actual only impact of the game, was Chris Boswell. Because he's literally their only offense. And it reminded me of, like, if you played Perfect Dark or GoldenEye, you might not have found the best weapon, but if you're still racking up a couple kills, still good with headshots, still staying at the top of the leaderboard right there, who cares if you win with a pistol or if you get the golden gun or proxy mines or whatever, you still win. And your weapon won you. So that's kind of how I look at Boswell. Kicker's not a sexy answer, but kicker was the only answer the Steelers managed to muster, and they needed all 6 of his field goals, basically. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about my Bucks and the man in the kitchen, good old Baker, the only quarterback that actually looked good, really, all week one. Four touchdowns, like 145 plus passer rating. Like, it was great. Now, he was helped out because we actually had a running game for a change. And even though you ain't going to find anything close to winter in Florida, we've got ourselves a Bucky, and Bucky Irving is a fucking beast. So if he can keep that shit up, using Rashad White for just like some flare passes, some easy out of the back stuff, and Bucky to actually run the ball with Mike having a solid season already. I mean, he's four touchdowns away from 100, and there's only, what, eight other receivers in NFL history that have 100, so that's pretty good. He'll probably get there, you know, in a matter of a couple weeks, unless injury or something crazy happens, you know, knock on wood. But still, Baker has to be in the consideration. Not to rub salt in the wound, but Saquon Barkley, you know, you can't deny his effect on that game. He had a receiving touchdown. He had two rushing touchdowns. He had like 132 scrimmage yards. He looked really good. He was more of a reason for the Giants to kick themselves this week beyond the fact that they looked like the Montreal Canadiens taking the field and they couldn't find their ass from a hole in the ground and they just sucked. They looked at all of the wonderful things they traded away or released, and they all did really well, except their team. Their team just sucked. But hey, the Eagles managed to put it together, and then Saquon looked fantastic. Last one that's in consideration for me, which I think shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, is going to be Xavier Worthy from the Chiefs. You know, he's another thing to mention is he's a rookie, and on his first touch of his career had that end around touchdown that went right in. Then he caught another touchdown. So those are two really explosive plays. And even though he didn't touch the ball a hell of a lot, he proved himself to be the explosive Tyreek Hill replacement weapon that everybody assumed he might have been, being the fastest player to ever anything in the combine, you know, receiver, quarterback, however you want to word that, however you want to quantify it. So when it comes down to those four, I was waffling between Xavier Worthy and Chris Boswell. But in the spirit of the award and the weapon aspect, I think you got to give it to Xavier, because he doesn't need all of the touches to prove the impact he has in the game. He had, what, two receptions and one carry, and that was two touchdowns. And I think he's only targeted one other time that he didn't catch the ball. So out of four targets for a possible, you know, touching the ball, he got two touchdowns. That's pretty good right there. It's a coin flip if he's going to end up with a touchdown if he touches the fucking ball. That's impressive. So Xavier Worthy is my weapon of the week. What about you, Tony?
Well, I mean, I have an interesting honorable mention there, because similar-ish stats were had by one Jaden Reed of the Packers, who touched the ball five times, gained 171 yards total, and had a rushing and receiving touchdown. So that's my one honorable mention. But the big story, Andrew, was two kickers kicking six field goals. Jake Moody and Chris Boswell adding two extra points each. They each scored 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
No one else scored 20 points last week. But none of those Jaden Reed or the two kickers are my weapon of the week. My weapon of the week was already mentioned by you. 26 total touches, 132 yards, finding pay dirt three times with his brand new team. Saquon Barkley is PC Tunney's weapon of the week.
All right. I mean, I had him on my short list. I liked the concept of weapon with Worthy a little better. You know, if you're going to go for your secret weapon, your most powerful weapon, your power up, you don't need to go to it all the time. You don't need to go to it 26 times, right?
Well, hey, you say weapon, I say weapon.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You should have been like, Wepa! You should just Spanished it up. That's what you should have done. All right, so we got Xavier Worthy or Saquon. So we should totally turn this into a poll.
I imagine we could.
Yeah.
I imagine we could.
Maybe give it a nice hashtag for WoW, because it's weapon of week.
I know a guy with a Chairshot NFL account.
And then we just need to figure out what the Eagles Bills and the Chiefs hashtag is to get that kind of trending in the right direction for the right people?
Oh, I can do that. I can do that right now. If you want to start, actually, I can start doing that as we move on from our weapon of the week to.
Because you know I can play music. Supposed to go soon, but I haven't heard this in really like a hot minute. It's nice to hear Power Surge.
You just like not coming in until the music is done, even though it's fading out for you to talk over.
That too. Yes. It's part of the gimmick. You know, yeah, I remember the gimmick from last year. I have to continue with the gimmick. Plus, it's a good song. I don't want to step all over Overkill. That's how that works. Because you remember when we were doing Pot is War, like, you know, Platt hates when you step on him or step on things or step on the lead. So I got a little, air out, ruminate a little bit, aerate. You know, it's nice. It's a good song. It's fun. But yeah, so Power Rankings, not Power Surge, Power Rankings. Going from weapons to power. I like where this is going. It's very, very alpha. Very, very nice. I like it. But anyway, Power Rankings. Interesting this week, I think. And I'll run down 1 through 10 real quick while you're doing the fun interaction stuff. And we can talk about it after I run through 1 and 10 if you want me to extrapolate on anything or if you disagree heavily one way or the other. So I'll start at 10. 10, I've got the Eagles because while they won, I thought both teams looked sloppy. I thought both teams didn't look great. The Eagles had a fumble they lost. They had, what, 2 picks? They had 3 turnovers and still ended up winning the game because they were just sloppy, slipping all over the place. It wasn't really a fantastic effort from anybody. And it was just kind of like the nicest guy in prison. Someone had to win. And I'm not super impressed, but impressed enough to at least say they won, they get top 10. Bucks are my 9th team because they're the team that showed up the most this week against a team that was game on paper. Like, you know, the Commanders didn't just sit down. They actually played fairly well. Jaden Daniels played the best out of any of the rookie quarterbacks. And you didn't know what you'd get out of the Commanders. Bucks were supposed to win it. They did, but it was still a decent game. Bills are my number 8 team just because I'm not sold on them this year, but they managed to come back from, I think, 17-3 is their biggest deficit. And then basically as soon as halftime was over, they started blowing the Cardinals away. So that says something. The Dolphins are 7th because while I don't love the Jaguars, the Dolphins were able to come back from that. And they had all the drama with Tyreek leading into it. So it might have taken a little bit to kind of rub, you know, get the rust off and get the kind of annoyance out of his head to just lock in and play football. Cowboys, I thought, played really solid and looked really good. So they're my number 6 team. And I give that some credit because, you know, Jerry decided to go crazy and not announce things basically until like the last day or last hour for people getting re-signed. So any conversation we might have had leading into this of, oh, is that going to get re-signed or what's this going to look like? Evaporated right before the game happened, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess everybody's happy.
In the words of Spock, you're 6 through 10, and the commentary that you know surrounded it, highly logical. Before we get to the top 5, I think we should dig into the bottom of the barrel first, though.
As in the bottom 5, or yeah. Just the bottom of the 10?
No, the bottom 5.
Bottom 5.
Bottom 5.
Okay.
Bottom 5. Mine
so
is...
I think our bottom 2 are the same. I'm assuming the same order, but I've got Panthers and then Giants.
I flipped the order. Giants, then I have Giants. They're horrible.
It's fine. I was waffling between the two as well, but the Panthers, I thought, just lost to a worse team in worse fashion.
Yeah, my next two are the same as last week, though. The Raiders at 3. The Raiders 3rd worst and the Titans 4th.
See, I've got the Broncos at 30 and the Cardinals at 29.
Okay. I got Denver being 28.
I've got the Patriots at 28 just because I
won!
Don't trust them yet.
They won! Yo, you're full of crap.
Care.
You suck. Boo!
I don't trust them. The Truman administration. Like, what the fuck? Like,
boo.
You know exactly what I'm getting.
Dumbass.
It's might have won a damn game, but
dumbass. Makes me
red. It's this ain't the 70s or that 90s show. Like, the Patriots.
Dumbass.
Out of bottom five. Okay. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Where would you put the Patriots then? And don't say 27th.
Somewhere between 6 and 27.
You son of a bitch. That doesn't help. That's such an Eric Foreman fucking cop.
They would.
Answer right there.
Dumbass.
Uh-huh. You're the dumbass on that one.
No, honestly, right now, okay, I would put them somewhere between 17 and 21.
I think I see your point.
I think they're going to be a really well-coached team, and Ramondre Stevenson is going to be a really sleeper stud this year.
I see your point. I just want one more week to buy into it.
Yeah.
Going into it was that Brissett was going to be the sacrificial lamb, and they didn't want, you know, Drake May to go behind that line and die too early. And then they won a game against a team that never shows up the first week of the season. So, I mean, that, I know it's not, I'm not trying to diminish it too much.
Right.
But when the Bengals lose game one, who's surprised?
No, I hear you.
So,
I hear you.
I need another week from the Patriots. That's what I need before I get them out of the bottom.
Okay. All right. Should we hit the best of the best?
We should.
All right.
And my top five is the same as last week, but just in a slightly altered order.
I have two teams dropping out of my top five.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right, so for five, I put the Ravens at five.
Five stays...
Because neither the Chiefs nor the Ravens played a good game, and the Ravens still almost won that game and only lost by a toe.
Five stayed the same for me. Houston Texans with a good road win in division, putting up points, they stay at five. I can't move them down for that.
Sure, the Texans move up to four for me because of a solid win, and I dropped the Ravens down two spots, so...
I have Detroit breaking into the top five at number four with a really...
That's right. You didn't have the Lions in your top five.
With a huge quality win against a really good opponent. And to me, the Rams would be easily in the top 10 still, even losing. I think the Rams are going to be really good, despite losing Puka Nacua for a while, which isn't going to help. But they do have some young, talented pass catchers that could help out.
The Rams are just outside of it for me personally. But I don't disagree with your logic. I just, the way I kind of split hairs, I have him at 13th instead of 10th. Gotcha. But I could see the argument for putting him in top 10. Let's see. Third, I have the Niners.
Third, I have Philadelphia moving up into the top three because I feel like the defense can sustain. That defensive line is really good. They added some pieces there. And I feel like with Kellen Moore being there, he's given that offense some stability that they've lacked last year after losing McDaniels. So I feel like...
You feel that defense is good when your boy, Jalen Reed, got wide open at least twice. And if Love didn't miss a few wide open plays, that was an easy Packers win by 10.
The Packers, with a healthy Jordan Love, a healthy Packers offense, I already said it's the most prolific offense in the NFL.
No, but you're putting the Eagles defense over right now. So you really think it's good when they had so many blown coverages.
I'm saying if they can maintain their progress and with the key additions on the defensive line, I mostly have the Eagles back to where they are because I feel like the offense has stability with the new offensive coordinator. So a smart play caller, and you throw Saquon Barkley in there, like that's in another element. I mean, when you got to account for him out of the backfield, it's hard to double A.J. Brown.
I mean, I get the logic. I can't buy into it just yet. That's why Eagles are 10 for me. Because it was a sloppy game.
The Ravens field got a
Brazilian wax, too. I understand. That's why everybody's slipping and sliding around. There's no friction on a Brazilian, you know what I mean?
Here's the thing about traveling to different countries to play American football is nobody has American football teams. They don't have professional stadiums with grass and turf that is made to hold up for an entire 60-minute NFL game.
They had a Super Bowl that was a slip and slide, too.
No, but
Aaron Rodgers died on a field that wasn't really good for football players. The Raiders used to play on a baseball field. So how far are we going to take this?
Did you see any other games that were played in NFL stadiums this week that had the problems that Sao Paulo did?
Did we see any other Super Bowls that were a slip and slide like a couple years ago?
Your Honor.
Which I think it was the Eagles, Honor, and the Chiefs.
He's avoiding the question, Your Honor.
There's a precedent, though, that even within NFL stadiums, we've had slip and slides before.
I'm asking about this past week.
This specific week, there was no other field that was as slippery and as awful as
no further power. Questions, Your Honor. The witness may be dismissed.
But wait, there's a precedent. I swear, there's factual evidence right here.
AKA,
there's other city stadiums in NFL history.
AKA, shut him the fuck up. I got the Niners.
I do think we need to get off that whole narrative of we can't play international games on international fields when how many times have people bitched about, you know, the old vet and how that was hard and nobody liked it. Nobody likes, you know, the fucking old Raiders stadium when it was a baseball stadium.
But you're talking about the past, though. You're talking about the past.
But even current ones, fucking Aaron Rodgers died in East Rutherford because of the turf, and nobody likes that kind of thing. And there's other ones that are very similar to that they're not changing that. I'm just saying. Like, there's always an argument over, well, should it be grass? Should it be turf? And should it be this? Should it be that? Should it be red? Should it be blue? Should it be purple? Should it be green? Just
no, it
shut
shouldn't
the fuck
be
up
red.
And play football.
It shouldn't be red or purple. Blue's okay, but not in the NFL. I have the Niners for number two.
I have the Lions for number two.
Eh.
Yeah, you're just sour because, you know, you didn't want to put them over and
I'm not.
The Packers are
no,
now.
No, I'm not like, you know I'm not like that. That's not fair.
Sour
you
bitch.
No, that's not me. You know that's not me.
Well, the Lions had a solid game. They looked really good against
I got them at
team.
Four. I got them at four.
I'm just saying, I feel like the Lions had the best actual game last week.
No.
Compared to everybody because
no, the Niners.
Jets came out looking flat.
The Niners probably had the best game.
No. But my point is the Jets came out looking flat. So their offense didn't do much. And the Niners just dinked and dunked and did like the old Peyton Manning defense where it's just like keep Rodgers off the field. How many 7-plus minute drives did the Niners have because Purdy just dinked and dunked and Ayuk dropped like two touchdowns almost because he was fucking Butterfingers McGee over there. And like the team didn't look that fantastic, but because of the three and outs from the Jets and the fact that every time the Niners touched the fucking ball, it was at least 5 minutes off the clock. There's a problem there. That's not a good game. That's a good game plan.
The 49ers with their best weapon out put up 32 points against the Jets, who are supposed to have one of the top 10 defenses. I'll be even lenient and say top 10 because they actually people who are say top 5 defenses in the league.
Yeah, but when the defense is on the field 80% of the time because the offense goes three and out and then they have a 7-plus minute drive, how are you going to sustain that? Your defense is tired.
That's because
it's just like George Thorogood. He's been looking for work, but they're tired.
She called me today, standing on the corner, leaning up against the post.
Exactly.
I said, but I'm tired. You know, don't try and get George Thorogood past me, bro.
I'll have you rent next week. What do you mean talking about the front rent? I haven't paid the back rent yet.
What do you mean it's last call? Number one, Kansas City Chiefs. Until they lose a game this year, they will not probably leave that spot. And even if they do, they might have already won enough games to stay in that spot. That's the way I look at them now.
Agreed.
You won the last two Super Bowls. It's like for them, they're it's like college rankings for me. Them alone, right? Like until you beat them,
it's
I can't
like
move them down.
Professional wrestling because they're the reigning and defending twice. Like we don't get to see too many football teams actually defend their championship.
I suppose.
And they've done it. And then they're trying to do it again. Which would be unprecedented. So.
Yes, it would. Very much so. All right, folks, those are our power rankings this week. Now we're gonna take a quick commercial right here. You're listening to Chairshot NFL on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com. where we remind you to always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a chair shot t-shirt. Plenty of cool designs. It makes a great gift as well. You can get in a hoodie, long sleeve, tank top, or that t-shirt in soft style. Check it out, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. When we come back, we're going to run down week two. Andrew Belaz, PC Tunney, Chairshot NFL.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back. Week two preview here. Andrew Belaz, PC Tunney, hitting you up again here. Chairshot NFL. Don't forget to follow us at Chairshot NFL. We have our Weapon of the Week poll up already.
Look at you.
Hashtag Chiefs Kingdom. Hashtag Fly Eagles Fly.
Okay, Xavier, nice.
Xavier Worthy or Saquon Barkley? If you disagree, retweet, quote tweet, comment on why we're dumbasses and who you had for Weapon of the Week. How about that?
So is that going to be a new segment, Dumbass Moment of the Week? We're just going to have Reg show up and call us a dumbass?
Dumbass.
Yeah.
That's true.
But for now,
cuidado. Mucho cuidado.
Yeah.
Que estás tomando por un rumbo equivocado. Cuidado con tus mentiras, que yo las puedo adivinar cuando me miras. Cuidado, mucho cuidado, que estoy de vuelta cuando tú ni has comenzado. Cuidado, no estoy tan ciego para dejarte continuar con este.
All right, Andrew, let's get into it. Regular NFL schedule this week, starting on Thursday night. Bills at Dolphins, early AFC East marquee matchup on Amazon Prime. It's going to be hot, muggy. Dolphins favored by 1.5, over under 49.
I feel like it's going to be over 49. And because it's going to be hot and muggy, I'll take the Dolphins. It's been really nice up here in the Northeast, so that's going to be a bit of a temperature shock for the Bills, I think.
Yeah, I would keep an eye on the rain. I would say you'd be better off betting the over than working on this point spread of 1.5. If I had to lean, I'd go with the home team just because the Bills' defense gave up 4 touchdowns to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, throw it to Dalton Kincaid. Sincerely, my fantasy football team. Tyreek Hill, stop getting arrested before games unless you're able to stay on the field and score a touchdown every time you get arrested before games, then get arrested before every game. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
Maybe that's going to be his new superstition thing. Maybe he's just going to ask to get arrested.
Did you hear his comments? He goes, I could have been nicer, but they should still get fired.
At least he was honest about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. I don't know, man.
That's going to come down to one hell of a PR stunt in a couple weeks, probably, assuming the Dolphins are having a decent year.
Yeah, so Scottie Scheffler and Tyreek Hill walk into a bar.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's roll in through these Sunday early afternoon games. Colts at Packers. Packers plus 3.5 at home, over under 41. I wouldn't bet this game, but if I had to, I would take the Colts minus 3.5, and I'd say under 41. I think the Packers are going to struggle, and struggle hard without a quarterback. That's my opinion.
41 is a low number, so I agree that I like the Colts. I think it's over, but not by a ton.
This game's like 27-7 or something like that. Like, the Packers' offense will be just... it'll be sickening. If you have Jonathan Taylor and whoever else is the backup there, and Anthony Richardson, you're probably going to run for like 400 yards, the Colts will. It'll be hilarious.
Yeah, but the Colts aren't really a keep-the-ball-and-pace-it type of team. Like, Richardson is definitely more of like the have fun cowboy kind of player. So well,
you can do
I don't
that.
Think he'll be able to pull off like the Purdy
hey,
thing.
We're having
7 minute long drives.
You can do that too, because you don't really need to keep Malik Willis off the field. So
I mean, they might just dumb luck into a touchdown or two. Garbage time is a motherfucker for over unders, man.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Raiders at Ravens. Ravens -9.5 over under 41.5. I like the Ravens to almost get the over by themselves at home here, being pissed off after losing last week. This was almost a lock for me, but it's not. I would easily lay the -9.5 here from the Ravens. I wonder how Ray would feel if that was too disrespectful to the Raiders.
I don't know. Didn't he have some kind of like tidbit last year that off of a loss, the Ravens would win by like 10 or more, every, like 9 out of 10 times or something like that? It, like
that's possible. And I've also told Ray, you have walk-on status any show you want to come on and be on for as long as you want every week. It's up to you, Ray. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure he dropped some kind of nugget last year about the Ravens and large disrespectful point spreads. But they're both coming off of losses. And the Ravens didn't play their best game, and I don't 100% know if they fix it unless they figure out, you know, maybe you hand the ball to Derrick Henry more often. You got him for a reason instead of just 13 fucking touches and 47 yards or whatever the hell it was. Like, maybe they should not do that and give it to him like 20 times. You know what I mean? Because Derrick Henry does get better the longer the game goes on because he tires the defense by banging into him.
I can tell you that if it wasn't anybody but John Harbaugh, I would agree with you, but I can see where you're coming from, but John Harbaugh is a pretty damn good NFL football coach.
That doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. You know, everybody thinks Kyle Shanahan's a pretty good coach, and how many times has he choked it away in the Super Bowl when up by 10 points?
Harbaugh's won a
At
Super
least.
Bowl, though.
Yeah, A.
Well, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
There's a lot of people that are Hall of Famers. That doesn't necessarily make
will,
them infallible.
He will be. No, I agree. Are you telling
so
me
what? I think I like the over, and I think I like the Ravens with the Raiders with the points.
Okay.
Just because all I feel right. like 9.5 is too much, and the Ravens, since the playoff loss to the Chiefs in that first week, I haven't seen them coming out of the funk yet. You know what I mean? Because they just need to prove it. That's all.
L.A. Chargers heading east to Carolina. Harbaugh looks, you know.
Bolts up.
He looks on the precipice of starting 2-0.
What do you mean looks? It is 2-0. Bolts up. Panthers dead.
dear Jim Harbaugh, please continue to hand the ball off to J.K. Dobbins, sincerely my fantasy football team. Panthers +6.5, over under 39.5. Yeah, I think a Chargers win by a touchdown here. I think that's a pretty strong play. That's probably like would have been fourth or fifth in my line of locks, but it's not.
I think the Chargers could score 39 themselves, so that's obviously an over for me.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Saints at Cowboys. Over under 45.5. Cowboys nearly nearly a touchdown favorite, -6.5. Saints coming off a pretty big win, looking pretty good, pretty diverse on
Stop
offense.
It.
Cowboys.
Who'd they play
too,
against?
I'm just an NFL team. That's who they played against.
Barely.
If anything here, I'd be taking the Saints in the points.
See, this is another one of those positions where I don't completely trust the Saints because they beat the Panthers. The Panthers aren't a team. Like, they're starting fucking Papa Smurf at quarterback. Like, they are a JV team masquerading as professional football team.
I get that, but they put up 47. I think they won 47-10. So that's like, okay, you didn't just do your job. Like, you went out and said, okay, we're way better than this worst team in the league.
I think at some point it was like 30-0. So at that point, everybody's game plan is, fuck it, let's try this and see what happens. And then the fuck it, let's try this play got a touchdown. So it's just like, you can't put a lot of stock into that. It's like the Dolphins beating the Broncos 70-20. At some point, you're just like, eh, screw it, let's try this. Okay. What's the difference between a win of 7 and a win of 50? Like, it's still a win. Who cares? It just looks funnier on paper. But I don't know. I think I'll stay with the Cowboys until the Saints prove me something. But 45 is a bit. I think it's going to be under 45.
All right. We'll see. Dallas could go off, too. You never know.
True.
Bucks at Lions, an old NFC Central black and blue division matchup. Lions, touchdown favorite, full touchdown favorite, over under 51. Give me the Bucks and the under.
See, this is going to be my first lock of the week because okay. I feel like that is too many points to give to the Bucks coming off of that win and with that momentum and the way that the team seems to be gelling well with Baker. So while if we were picking this straight, I think the Lions win the game. Let's be 100% honest with my thought process. I know the Lions are a better team. I think the Lions win straight up. With betting involved, I think the Bucks cover the 7. And 51.5, I think it's going to be under that because both offenses can kind of be streaky at times. But I think 7 is just too much to give for the Bucks.
Plus 260 on the money line, by the way, are the Bucks. So that might be a good bet if you're believing in Tampa Bay here. Otherwise, take the points. Wouldn't be surprised if Detroit won by 8 or 10 or whatever, but I look for a good game here between these two teams. I really do.
Even last year when people were low on the Bucks, they kept most of the games close. There weren't a ton of games that they got blown out by 10 or more points.
It's going to come down to how well the defense progresses down in Tampa Bay because I think this offense is really good. There's obviously receivers galore to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. You talk about the addition of the new running back in the backfield.
I tried
to pick him up. Someone got him right before me because I was
That sucks.
I was 8 out of 10 on the waiver. When you win, that I'd rather be at the bottom of the waiver, you know. But I like the Bucks. I like the Bucks a lot. I think they're easily the cream of the crop for the NFC South. So Browns at Jaguars. The Browns were off coin flip between them and Denver to be in the bottom five, and Denver went in. But I like the Jags. I like them to cover. I guess we'll go over 41.5 because that's a really low total. But yeah,
can we use charades rules and just say pass?
We can. We don't want to talk about
give
it.
Give me the next picture.
Yeah, we'll pick the next one.
Sounds
okay,
like
we keep going. Niners. I thought you were really playing that skip a turn card Uno style.
No, like it's gonna be a pretty lame game because the Browns look like shit. The Jaguars don't necessarily look great, but at least they look like they're trying. So,
and that's the problem
with
the Jaguars.
I feel like the Jaguars win straight up.
That's the problem with the Jaguars since Mark Brunell.
They look like they're trying, but they suck.
And now another allegation coming forward on Deshaun Watson. Likely the worst money ever spent in the history of the NFL is the contract Cleveland gave this guy.
Yeah. I mean, Herschel Walker, Emmitt Smith to the Cardinals,
those are just trades, but the contract they gave him.
Well, Herschel still got a big contract, though.
No, but they guaranteed him $245
million. Oh, well, that's
only because
we're in the realm of guaranteed money.
I'm saying ever, though. This is the worst contract ever given.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Just because of the guaranteed money. Unless Deshaun turns it around and kind of battles away whatever the new allegation is, which I'm not talking about it. But I'm just saying, like, unless he gets around that and actually turns the shit around, yeah, he's a fucking waste of money.
Yeah. Niners heading to Minnesota to take on the upstart 1-0 Vikings, the Sam Darnolds. It happened.
I mean, he still threw a pick. He only threw 2 touchdowns. He looked better than we expected, but come on. He's still fucking Ghostbusters Sam Darnold over there.
Niners minus 6 over under 45.5. There's a lot of games I like to pick this week. This is one of them, but I chose not to lay one of the highest spreads on the road for one of my locks.
It's the Niners, though.
No,
so,
I
think that's
fine. Yeah, they should win here.
Seahawks at Patriots. Over or under?
45.5. Sheesh. I'll say over. I think Niners finished some of them drives they didn't when they got 6 field goals last week.
I agree.
Seahawks at your favorite team, the New England Patriots. Patriots are plus 3, though. Seahawks are favorites on the road. Over under 38. I like the over here, for sure.
Oh, yeah. 38's low as shit.
Yeah, even if Kenneth Walker is out, Zach Charbonneau has proven that he can be an effective ball carrier. Both teams have – Seattle has weapons, pass catching on offense. The passing game on New England, still, you know, not quite sure on, but Ramondre Stevenson is going to be able to run the football.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Mm-hmm. I'll pick... You know what? Just because of the conversation we had during power rankings, will pick the Patriots.
Oh, well, can't.
If they win this week,
okay, then they'll be in your top five.
My bottom five.
They'll be in your top five. They'll be 2-0, top five in the NFL.
I'll put them in the top 10.
You'll put them in the top 10. All right. Patriots are going to be Andrew's top 10 next week. It's going to be hilarious.
Coming it's in gonna at, be fucking hilarious.
Coming
yes,
in at but, number you know, 10.
Have fun with this. Fuck it.
All right.
It doesn't have to all be like chalk analytical bullshit. Like, we can have fun here. We know how to have fun.
Here's another less than interesting game. The Jets travel to Tennessee to take on the Titans. It's Hiawatha versus Hiawatha versus Mayo. Titans are +4, over under 42. The Jets go down there and get healthy. I would say under. This is like a 31-10 game. Jets probably just dominate.
I like Levis, but the way that game ended with him on his knees just basically crying after a bad interception, I'm like, that's just stupid. And like that was a bad look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's still young, sure. You could chalk that up to just being young and stupid, but like, it looked stupid. So
no, the Bears,
you come back from that.
The Bears lucked into a win there. I mean, Caleb Williams looked horrible.
Like I said, I believe in Santa Claus more than I believe in the Bears, and that game did nothing to change my belief.
Yeah. Final early afternoon game, the Giants head to
Commanders.
Head to Washington for an inter-division matchup. Commanders -2.5, over under 44. This is my first lock of the week. Give me Washington at home, minus less than a field goal against the Giants.
So, it's a division game. It's less than a field goal difference, and you're just locking it in there. Especially when we don't even really know what the Commanders are. You think the Giants looked that bad?
I mean, the Giants looked absolutely pitiful. They got fucking housed at home by the Vikings without a quarterback, right? So there's that. And then you want to take a look at the other half of the quarter. The Commanders, they put up some points on the road against the Buccaneers. What are you going to do? It's a good Bucs team.
And Jaden looked decent, too.
He didn't.
Like,
he can
I
run.
Could say that
yeah, he
from
can run.
Another perspective. Jaden looked
run.
Pretty good for a rookie.
Well, he can run. That's it. He didn't throw anything passing-wise.
It doesn't matter. He moved the ball. He moved the sticks. That's all you want from a quarterback. I don't care how it gets done. He didn't get hurt.
He didn't throw a pick. He didn't throw a pick. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. He looked better than all of the other rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, but 7 of his 17 completions were to the running backs, so that's kind of tough. Like, you got Terry McLaurin, you got to be throwing him the football. The guy had fucking 2 catches for 17 yards. What are we doing?
He's a rookie.
Yeah, oh no, I'm aware. But he scored 30 points in fantasy for me, so that rookie's starting again this week.
See, so from a fantasy perspective, he's fantastic. Why are you arguing with me?
Oh, right. And I'm like, as long as he doesn't run for 2 touchdowns this week, he scores 17 points, and that sucks.
Stop throwing the ball, run more. What? But you just complained that all he did was run, and he didn't move the sticks throwing. I don't care.
I need one or the other.
You can't contradict yourself.
I would rather have him be consistent passing the football because we know he can run, and those are going to come. But you know what? He didn't throw a pick. 17 to 24, 184 yards. It just seems like I need him to grasp the offense quicker to be able to make the reads to get the longer completions. Like, they have way too many weapons on offense to not be able to throw the football down the field.
Oh, I know. I find it funny when you're contradictory to your own brain, when you're just like, fantasy Tunney likes the fact that he runs in touchdowns, but real football Tunney is just like, you need to show me more throwing the ball here.
Dear Jaden Daniels, 2 rushing touchdowns are worth more than 2 passing touchdowns. Sincerely, my fantasy football team. But, I mean, it's like, yeah, his longest reception was... The 2 longest receptions he had were dunks to Robinson Jr. and Eckler. To the rest of his receivers and tight ends, 15 yards. That's it. So
it's
you got to
like
be able to
Bucks
move the ball about.
The defense is a complete fucking softball either, though. So
no,
like...
but I mean, I'm looking for at least 120-plus yard reception. It doesn't have to be 99, but it could be 22.
You don't even get 20-plus yard receptions at a veteran quarterback some games because they just don't have the poise or the understanding
okay.
for the defenses.
Name me a quarterback that's in the top of the league from last week. Just one. Go ahead. Pick one.
Sam Darnold.
That's the top of the league quarterback. Top 5 quarterback.
You actually going to make me pull up the fucking stats? On
I have the stats. I want you to pick a quarterback, and I'll tell you how many 20-plus he had.
Okay, so let's see. Baker, I think, is probably number one, but he also had really good one. You know, Stafford. Give me Stafford, because Stafford was a little dinky-nunky. Yak doesn't count. Or does it count yak in the thing?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to yakety yak it, but I can definitely...
You can't yakety sacks?
No, but I can definitely trackety track it from long receptions from receivers. 21 yards, Cooper Kupp, 20 yards, Colby Parkinson, and Tyler Johnson, 63-yard catch.
Okay, so you had one bomb and two that were basically 20, but Stafford's also a veteran of like 15 years or whatever.
He had three.
Yes, but I'm just saying he's also a veteran of 15 years. So, I'll do this then. Go to Fields. Fields has been in the league for what, 4 or 5 years? So we're comparing this to a rookie. Go to Fields.
This is his third year, I think.
No, it's not.
Sure.
Is it only Fields' third year? I thought it was fourth.
It's his fourth year. Fuck off.
Okay, fuck. I just like you made me doubt for a second because I'm like, am I crazy?
He had a 40-yard pass to George Pickens.
One. So he had fucking one.
He also had a 19-yarder.
That's not 20.
Fuck you.
So one, and he's been in the league for 4 years.
All right. Okay. Point. Well, we'll meet in the middle on that. That's fine. are you locking in the Commanders no?
Jaden will probably get his first 20-yard plus completion against the fucking Giants.
I hope so. I locked in the Commanders. How about you? No?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah. Okay, I ain't picking the Giants.
No, like, I mean, is it a lock?
Week zero?
Is it a lock?
What? Huh?
Is it a lock of the week?
No.
No? Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Did I miss one?
Did you miss one? We're moving on to the late afternoon games. Did you have one early? You have your Tampa Bay. Do you have two more?
No. I have my two.
So. Okay. All right. My next lock is in this next game, the Rams.
Arizona. This is my next lock, too, yeah.
Give me the Rams plus one.
Same.
In Arizona. I'd go over 49.5, but yeah, this should be a fun game, to be honest with you.
I mean, we'll see. You think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to catch more than one ball and not look like the slowest man to ever play football?
I hope he does the same thing this next week, so then I can go trade for him on the low, because he's going to be great.
I love how all of this is just, like, subverting fucking for fantasy picks. That's all it really is. You're just like, I hope the Cardinals are bad. I hope Marvin Harrison Jr. looks like shit so I can pick him
gimmick.
For cheap.
It's going to be my gimmick all year. Dear Marvin Harrison Jr., catch no passes next.
Marvison Harris Jr.
Dear Marvison Harris Jr. Okay, Dear Marvis Harris the second. Please catch
How drunk are you right now? Shut up.
Please catch no passes next week so I can trade for you for cheap. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
And look slower somehow.
The Rams are a really good team. They're a really well-coached team. They have really good players on both sides of the ball.
Losing Pukachev, like, you know, right. They still got a lot of pieces.
They do. They really, really do. Cooper Kupp looks healthy. Johnson looks like a young wide receiver that can come on here. Colby Parkinson's a solid tight end. Kyren Williams and that offensive line are really good at matriculating the ball down the field. So.
Okay, Hank Stram. Thank you.
I didn't see you pull that yet.
Okay, all right, fine. You win that one, but do you like the rumors going out that Robert Woods is going to maybe have a stint back in L.A.?
Well, he's not doing anything. Where is he right now?
I think he's in Houston, right?
Is he in Houston? Yeah, I mean, Diggs was a big touchdown catch last week, so too bad
Mixon,
for the guy.
Hey, Mixon looked good, too.
Yeah,
we were
good
both
for
kind
the,
of on the fence about him.
Good for Brother Joe for keeping him. Bad for the Mike man who kept Tank Dell.
Eesh. Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, because should have kept Kamara. Bengals. Oh, my goodness. Did anybody – the most disappointing – even with Love getting hurt and the Giants looking absolutely garbage against the Vikings, the most disappointing week last week, the biggest disappointment of the week was the – there's another segment, disappointment of the week. Like, wah, wah.
We could do that, too.
Who's the Debbie Downer of the week? Wah, wah. We thought we had it bad because our star receiver wouldn't play for $35 million a year. But then we saw our quarterback on the sideline and he couldn't pick up a water bottle. Wah, wah.
Hey, leave Slim Brady alone right there.
Hi, like... my name is what? My name is who? My name is my arm hurts.
Wow. Wow.
You're welcome.
You know that's going to be funnier, though, is if the Bengals beat the Chiefs.
Oh,
because Burrow's still 3-1 against Mahomes.
Totally a game the Chiefs lose, and like no one, and it doesn't affect them in any way, right? Like, oh, we've lost the Chiefs. We lost to the Bengals. There's a good football team. Andy Reid. I'm just worried about if we're gonna have onions or not on the burgers later. And then, you know, I mean, Brittany Mahomes got to be pissed at fucking Taylor Swift for endorsing Kamala. What can you do?
I mean, she needs to cover herself from all the other bad press she was getting. So that's what you call strategic marketing right there. It's bad enough Travis Kelce came out looking like fucking Highway Patrol, fucking with that shitty haircut and that mustache. Like, I'm just like, oh, are they doing a Super Troopers 3? Because you look sus as fuck, Travis. You used to be cool. What happened? It's like the Simpsons thing. It's like, what happened to you, China? You used to be cool. No, China's still cool. China's still cool.
Yeah, that, okay, hold on, that was really funny, actually. We even gotta like bring the show unnecessarily to a halt so that we can I'm guessing we both have the Chiefs. How about the over under 48?
I do have the Chiefs, even though I'm not surprised if the Bengals win. Over under, it's like right at the border in my head, though. It's going to be like a 24-21 kind of game, 27-21. I'll say over just because I'll play it safe because I have it like borderline in my head and I don't think it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know what I mean? Because the Bengals do tend to come out angry after they lose, and the Chiefs put up 20 even when they had no offense last year, so.
Okay. No worries. Last
Makes
late,
it hard to argue against it.
Last late afternoon game, Steelers at Broncos. Over under 36.5. I just feel like for some reason Mike Tomlin's going to come out and say that Russell Wilson's starting this week. He's active. Got a couple packages
you
for Fields.
You just want that to be a thing.
Or do you think, like, do you think Tomlin brought him in just to give Fields an edge? And was like, at the last second, I'm going to sit. Because everybody thought Wilson was starting until they said, Wilson's inactive and Fields gets a start. Right? That was the storyline up until that very moment.
More or less. Everybody knew that Russell had that calf issue, but nobody knew how problematic it was, how iffy it was. And then he sits. But, I mean, the Bengals rushed out Burrow too early a couple years ago with a calf issue, and he didn't look right for a while. So, and... Russ is on the back end of his career, so he can't really just soldier through it like Burrow did.
You know who could use Russell Wilson is the Cleveland Browns.
I think they just traded for Flacco back. I think that's what they want.
I mean, a healthy Russell Wilson. Like, the Steelers don't need him if they believe in Justin Fields.
I'd still take Flacco.
I disagree. Sunday night
you
football.
You can. That's fine. We didn't even pick that one.
Yeah, I know. Really? Who are you going to pick? I think Denver wins.
I mean, I've got the Steelers as my last lock of the week.
What?
Yeah. Did you see how shitty the Broncos offense looked? Bo Nix looks like he blows dicks. Like, he couldn't fucking move the ball.
Been saving that one, haven't you?
Not really. It's an easy one. Especially after that first week. That was a layup. TJ Watt is going to massacre that team.
Broncos find a way to win.
No, Broncos find a way not to die. It's going to be under 36.5 or whatever the number you said was, but okay. Broncos lose.
Okay.
Easy beans.
All right. Well, I'm going to let me mark the tape here so I can play this next week. Okay, got it. Sunday night football, the 1-0 Bears. Head to Houston to take on the 1-0 Texans. Texans just under a touchdown favorite at 6.5. Over under 46. This is my final lock of the week. I'll take Houston minus 6.5 against the Bears. Dear Houston Texans defense, turnovers and touchdowns would be appreciated. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
Yeah, I said it last week. I said it earlier this week. I believe in Santa Claus more than the Bears. So Texans all the way.
Okay.
Right. Unless it's a year without a Santa Claus and we have to start talking to Heat Miser and Snow Miser. Like, the Bears ain't doing shit this year.
So there might have been a tie, actually, for the biggest disappointment of the week last week. You know, I said the Bengals, and that was definitely a disappointment at home against the Patriots.
Oh, the Falcons were probably my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, 10 points. This team was supposed to be an offensive juggernaut.
The offense looked lost. So that's the beauty of being in Jersey, is that the Pittsburgh games are still local on some channels, depending. So I got to watch that game all the way through. Kirk looked rusty. The offense looked out of sync. He had what, he threw two picks. And I think there was another fumble involved somewhere too, or just it looked sloppy. I don't remember if there was a fumble.
You knew it was a bizarro world because Kyle Pitts finally caught a fucking touchdown.
Hey, he might come around this year. You never know.
He probably will because I don't have him. Thanks, Dalton Kincaid. Sincerely, my fantasy football team. I mean, the Philly could be an easy pick here too at home, -6.5. I think they easily cover this, I would imagine. I think the Packers defense is better than the Eagles defense, or the Falcons defense for sure. Let's put it this way too, Andrew. The Eagles have more recovery time.
They have more recovery time, but I feel like Kirk would take it more seriously than Hurts.
I mean, I don't think you can. I think that's a horrible argument. I think they both take it unbelievably seriously.
If you look at the Netflix quarterback series, like, Kirk used to grill himself over missing three passes in a win, not even a loss, and he did the brain training and all that other weirdo white people thing. But, he really, eats at himself when there's a bad game. So I feel like the Falcons are going to come out better. I feel like 6.5 is too much. And I still have seen nothing from the Eagles to make me think they're a different team than they were last year. So I'm going to take the Falcons in an under 47.
I'd love to bet you on this one if we could bet. If you wanted to, I would definitely take the over. And the Eagles -6.5. But that's the beauty of the NFL. A lot of field goals last week. A lot of stalled drives.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about more touchdowns this week? Sincerely, my fantasy.
I mean, we're going to get more. Sincerely, your fantasy team.
Yeah, that's my new thing this year. Overall thoughts?
The first week of NFL football definitely looked like preseason.
Yeah.
2.0.
Right. And now,
it's basically what Belichick said on McAfee's show, where it's nothing matters until season starts, and you don't know what you have until the end of September or early October.
But here's the interesting thing, though, right? Not next year, but likely the year after, they're going to go to 18 games. They're going to have two byes. They're going to go to two preseason games and three inter-squad scrimmages over whatever time period you want in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see starters playing more, a whole quarter? A whole, almost a half and then a quarter leading up to it. I guess the fear of injury is greater than the risk of rust, right?
I feel like it depends on the veteran, the veteran status of the starter. If it's, say, a Aaron Rodgers or a Kirk Cousins, which are on their 12th, 15th, 16th year, they ain't going to play in the preseason. They'll get their reps and they'll figure it out when their season starts. If you're a rookie, if you're a second year or third year guy, you need as many reps as you can get. So you'll be playing two quarters, a quarter, and a couple plays, maybe.
But a lot of people would argue with you that Rodgers and Cousins look rusty, though.
I don't really think Rodgers looked that rusty because he had a lot of drops that game. There were drops from everybody in that game. And the worst thing that came from Rodgers is, at least on the McAfee show, he admitted that he audibled a few things the wrong way. He had four in-breaking routes on the one thing where he actually completed the pass, but it was a goofy audible. And a lot of it is just getting to know new playbooks, which you're not going to do that in the preseason anyway. You run the bare basic bullshit offense and defense in the preseason. Nobody gets into the nitty gritty of how they want their vernacular to be or how they want their version of the West Coast or the 4-2 or the Tampa or zone schemes to be. So you got to wait for, you know, crunch time to figure it out.
Fair enough, my friend. All I can say is I am so thrilled that Lord Football is back. I need ESPN to get back on my DirecTV. Fuck both of you right now, ESPN.
I saw your DirecTV tweet last week. Like,
dude, it's been 11 days. It's been 11
days. Didn't they have a fight with ESPN a few years back? Maybe like a decade ago? Someone did.
Yeah, it was cable, probably.
Was it FiOS that was like, you know, didn't want to pay ESPN and it took like a month?
Comcast,
FiOS, yeah, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, man, it's just like, what the hell? All you're doing is just pissing us off, the people that have subscriptions. Like, ESPN, like, they're dropping in my power rankings as well as DirecTV at the same time. It's like, dude. But, you know, you don't want to go through the whole hassle of, okay, I cancel. Now I got to make sure the person that is going to provide me with new internet is here in time to switch over to whatever thing I want to do. And then the next time their agreement's up, it'll be the same thing again. So, you know, they fuck you at the drive-thru. What are you going to do?
Order fries? Frosty might help?
In the words of Joe Pesci in Lethal, Weapon 3.
You would quote Joe Pesci. You would. Yeah, of all characters in Lethal Weapon to quote.
What am I, funny? Like a clown?
fucking A. Pesci.
Let's get out of here this week. Another great show. Looking forward to another great week of football here in week 2. Andrew Belaz, where can everybody find you? You got a big week this week.
I do. You know, TNA's got their usual show on Thursday. It's got Victory Road on Friday. You know, or did I say Tuesday or Thursday? I meant to say Thursday.
You said Thursday. You're good.
Tuesday was NXT, which you saw. TNA talent with Hammerstone and
the
Rosemary
Bloodline.
Was on it with the Wendy Chu thing
and the Bloodline
and Jordan Grace did her open challenge that got interrupted by said Rosemary. So there's just a lot of good TNA talent on NXT. TNA's Impact show on Thursday has been streaky, but you know, it's watchable, I suppose. And Victory Road, you know, it's big, but it also rematches the musical. If wrestling didn't have the rematch clause, I really don't know what we would do for this pay-per-view. Because everything is a rematch clause.
Well, let's hope they pull some good storytelling out of it.
Or at least build to Bound for Glory well. Because Bound for Glory is the next thing after Victory Road. So maybe this is just supposed to be that filler arc that, you know, you have in sitcoms and anime and some other, you know, TV shows. Maybe it's just a filler arc. Maybe you're not supposed to think too much about Victory Road this year.
Fair enough.
Also curious,
see.
What the hell JBL talked to Nick Nemeth about?
Aren't we all? I mean, that was one of the coolest things. It's like they asked JBL about why he was doing all these different things. He's like, oh, shit, I mean, I'm just getting paid to go scout for Triple H. No big deal.
He went to GCW to scout for Triple H, really?
I mean, he talked about all the different appearances he made. He's like, I'm just scouting for Triple H. I'm just getting paid to scout for Triple H.
That's funny. I think it'd be more interesting if JBL doesn't have to lace up the boots, so to speak, but if he were to, like, pick somebody as, like, his champion to challenge or something like that, that could be interesting just to see him in, like, a managerial role.
For sure.
Throw out a clothesline from hell once in a while.
I mean, as long as he's wearing proper fitting pants, it's all good.
I mean, he wasn't wearing terrible clothes the last few shows.
No, I'm just referencing that old appearance on WWE television where he clearly had a suit that was like 4 sizes too big for him and the pants were huge. You remember that? No? Look at him.
Jesus Christ, that's old. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, no, because the GCW one, it was fine.
Oh, yeah, he had the cowboy boots on, and he had the cowboy boots, the jeans, the trench coat, the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked good.
Very much like the Last Gunman kind of John Wayne kind of look.
Very Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, same difference.
Yeah, you know why they pulled John Wayne toilet paper off the shelf?
Why?
You wouldn't take shit from anybody. Tell everybody they can find you, Andrew.
drinking now after that. It's alone in the quiet, in the dark of my house.
Ding dong. Open the door, Andrew. It's PC.
Twix, Twitter, IWC War Chief. There. That's it. Have fun. PC, give them your plugs and run.
I could do that. You can follow me at PC Tony. Thanks once again for listening to everything Chair Shot Radio Network. We'll be back next week here. Chair Shot NFL. Follow us at Chair Shot NFL.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.